Okay, this final hour, we'll take your phone calls with Judy Carroll as we talk about the Zetas on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Judy, what do these Zetas eat? I'm curious.
Okay, well, it depends on whether they are in a artificial container. In that case, they don't need to because a pure soul consciousness doesn't need to eat. Some of them who are in physical, more physical form, eat a paste-like substance. We've seen it, a blue-coloured paste, and there's a yellow-coloured paste.
Not very appetizing. What is it for?
Well, basically, it's their food.
What is it?
Keep them alive.
I mean, what do you know what it's made with?
No, I don't. No. I haven't been given that much information.
I
do know they're vegetarian, so no meat is consumed. So this paste would be vegetarian in consistency, or the ingredients would be vegetarian.
Their craft, physical or not?
Multidimensional. It can lower its vibrational frequency to come into physical earth plane reality, or the vibrational frequency can be raised to a higher dimension.
How about a propulsion system? What does it run on?
Basically, it's links in. Again, this is a little bit hard to explain. The discs are, in a way, they could be looked upon as sentient entities themselves. The Zetas actually propel the disc by placing their hands onto like a control console, linking into energy directly from the universe. A little bit like we do on a very, very, very small scale with Reiki. We link in and channel the energy through. That's how they operate the craft. And the crew are like the brain and the nervous system of the disc. But the disc is a living entity itself. And the discs are actually attuned to respond to the particular crew members.
Judy, are they responsible for crop formations?
Yes, they are.
Are there messages behind them?
Oh, absolutely. Again, there's always three reasons with the Zetas, with everything. The crop circles are supposed to be transformative. That's what they're mainly meant for, to help the energy shift on the planet. Because of this 2012 energy shift, the planet is shifting to a higher vibrational frequency, level one to level two on the human ladder, in other words. The crop circles are rather similar to Reiki symbols and other universal symbols in that they help to shift the energy up to a higher frequency. They're also providing a certain amount of protection. Some earth changes will occur due to imbalanced energy and karma on the planet, but the cropped circles are helping to balance things out a little. They're also initiating a shift in humanity, helping us to stay in tune with the planetary shift. This is why some people are affected in various ways when they enter a genuine crop circle. They're also a means of communication. For example, scientists are putting signals out via things like SETI and claiming no replies coming in, but the crop glyphs are an answer in the language of universal symbols. They're also educational in that they contain information about planets, galaxies, and the universe. They're basically, and some of them are, an illustration of human evolution. They're actually created by a design, or the design they want to put down is programmed into what they call an energy stamp. It's something like a movie or music being recorded onto a DVD or a CD. And these appear as a ball of light, which is seen flitting around fields. I think some have been recorded on video, if I remember rightly.
Okay, let's go to the phone calls now. West of the Rockies, Mary is in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. I have a question. Years ago, I met with, I don't know if it was a Zeta or not, but I was told about my children that were to come. And I had lost a child, so I'm not going to go into that. But I saw the children that were to come, and there was an entity that told me that my son was going to be very important into the New World Order. And right now he's 24. He has a PhD both in physics and in math. My daughter has an engineering degree and is working on her PhD. She's 22, and it's in water resource. And they said these children are very important for the new what's happening, what is going to happen to this world. But they didn't look like grays. I was, I held their hand, but it they had blonde hair, very tall, and I felt just love.
Were they human looking?
Yes.
The Nordics, I guess, huh?
Yes. And that's why I was confused when you were talking about the Vedas looking, you know, as grays. These things did happen to the children that I didn't even have at that time.
Okay, Mary, there are many different groups working together. They could have been Pleiadians. They do quite a lot of this type of work. They work in hand-in-hand with the greys.
Mm-hmm.
People sort of think of, you know, the greys being the baddies and the Pleiadians being the goodies and that, but that's very much a thing from down here, filtered through our limited third-dimensional consciousness. Up there, it's everyone works together. It's just like one big family. So, yes, it's highly likely that it was another group who contacted you.
Judy, are they almost like time travelers? They seem to be able to have information about the future, and I don't know how.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Again, it comes back to the fact that they're on a higher level of the human ladder, so therefore they have a much more expanded conscious awareness than we do. This is why some of the star children who have a little bit more ET genetics in them are very, very psychic, intuitive, clairvoyant, or whatever. All this has to do with expanded conscious awareness.
Tell me more about the Guardians.
Yeah, the Guardians, yep. Yep, that's the name I call the Greys.
That's what you call them, okay.
Yes, yeah.
The angelic realm, which is a little notch higher, right?
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Do they interact with the Greys?
Absolutely, absolutely. They all work together. The Greys are sort of assistant angels, to put it into earthly terms. The angels are referred to as workers of oneness, and the Greys call themselves workers of the angels. So, yes, they all interact together.
Who are the fallen angels, then?
I believe they were a group who were on planet Earth many millions of years ago, when ETs first came to the planet. I think it was a group that sort of got caught up down here in physical form. They started craving physical experience and got caught up down here. I don't know a great deal about it, but that's as far as I understand.
We've got Aaron in Virginia Beach, Virginia, next on Coast to Coast. Hello, Aaron.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Go ahead.
Oh, I feel special in person.
You are special.
I have so many questions, but really something that struck me when you were talking earlier was, to start out with, this since 2003, I'd say about 9 years now, I've been aware of some kind of information, some kind of message that I should have absolutely no business being aware of. And it's been like guardian angels or something. I've always had this presence around me and signs and signals, and it's been guiding me towards this ultimate goal. And it's amazing that you said about this book that you were supposed to write the story, and that's what this ultimate goal supposedly is for me. And I've been trying to do it for years, and this number 333, which is what you said that kind of like triggered something in my head, that you said understand everything in threes, and that really sunk into me, because it was like kind of allowing me to think of the fact that maybe this message is coming from something that I don't quite acknowledge, or I don't remember, or I don't quite understand directly. And the problem is I've been really sick for the last year, a little bit over a year now. It'll be exactly a year in Halloween. And doctors can't figure out what's wrong with me. I've gone to specialists all over the place, and the only person who's been able to give me any kind of result, period, of a clue to this is a pathologist friend of mine took some samples of my blood and has found non-carbon-based matter in my blood. And that's the only clue I have. And now doctors won't even consider talking to me because they all say it's out of my league. I don't know what this is.
Wow.
And I need to know if this is a challenge or if this is kind of the beginning of the end or what I can do to be better so that I can complete this mission that otherwise if I feel like I'm going to be that, you know, when you're given a mission for something and you have to follow through with it, it's like your life's mission. And I feel like since I've been sick, it's like the only thing I can focus on is trying to figure out how to get well so I can get back to my work, whatever it is.
Right.
Can you give her advice there, Judy?
Obviously, traditional doctors aren't going to recognize what's going on. It might be an idea to consult a natural therapist of some sort. Herbalist, Reiki practitioner, something like that might help. It sounds as if it's, well, a vibrational frequency, something going on in the vibrational frequency.
Have you ever heard of the of hybrids having a different kind of blood system?
Oh, yes, apparently, yes. Yes.
Could she be one?
It could easily be. This is why, if it was me, I would be looking at natural therapies because these are more, more compatible if something like that's going on.
I find it amazing, though, how mainstream medicine just throws its hands in the air when it can't solve a problem or a dilemma.
Absolutely, absolutely. And these sort of things are going to come forward more and more. I know I have Zeta genetics in me, and my body temperature is always lower. So I can be running a temperature when I have it like 37 what is it, 97, I think it is, in Fahrenheit. I can't remember.
Do hybrids know who they are?
Some do, some don't. It depends on whether they've woken up, to use a Zeta term.
Interesting.
I think the hybrids, as opposed to star children, I'm talking about here, the hybrids would have more awareness. Some of the star children have, some don't. So I'm just differentiating between those two.
Understand. Let's go to Boise, Idaho. Eric, it's your turn. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, how's it going? I really like the program tonight.
Thank you, sir.
Do you think that this vibration that's emanating in every single molecule on the planet is really just kind of a karmic sequence of events? Everything's just kind of coming to a head. You know, lies can't stand forever, basically. All the complexities hiding the simple, is everything's just coming to a head. You know, I mean, in every single context, in everything, I mean, the world, the global economy, the way the industrial complex is heading isn't serving humanity. So, you know, when 10,000 people take a crap on a golden toilet and 100,000 children starve, the global economy is eventually going to collapse.
Yes, yes, it certainly is coming to a head. What's causing that is the fact that the vibrational frequency of the whole planet is escalating. It's coming up to a higher level. Have you heard of the Schumann resonance that they speak about, scientists speak about?
What is that, Judy?
What it is, it's the vibrational frequency of the planet. And apparently, about 10, 20 years ago, the Navy and military and different groups calibrate their instruments by this Schumann resonance. And apparently it was always very, very steady. I can't remember the exact figures, but I think it was about 7 or 7.5 or something. And apparently in the last 10 years or so, it shot up to about 12 or 13.
Huh.
So the vibrational frequency of the planet is certainly being raised.
Maybe that's what's screwing up the dolphins and whales and those kinds of animals.
Not so much that, because I think they probably are enjoying the higher frequency, but I think what is screwing them up is the fact that so much fear down here that is being brought to the surface because of this vibrational shift. And this fear is being, sort of polluting the whole environment. And this is why they would be reacting in that way. And the whole thing is we have to choose between love and fear. And if we choose fear, we'll basically devolve.
It's Joanne's turn, Utica, New York. Go ahead, Joanne. Thanks.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Okay.
Okay, that's great. How are you doing, Judy?
Very well, thanks, Joanne. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Were you briefed previously to some of my inquiries? Or
no.
Do I have to start from square one?
Well, you have to start from square one, Joanne.
Okay, George, this is so wonderful. I get to talk to you like this. I've been trying for such a long time. Okay, well, I know what the vibrational field is, sound, how it pulls all, you know, all of us together. I know that sound. It's like almost like sound, and I've experienced that before many a times. I've been abducted many of times. I am an intuitive, and I'm also a channel, and I am also an empath, and I've been abducted.
Okay.
Since a very, very young child, but I have never, ever once been afraid. As a matter of fact, I would walk out of my parents' home, I would see lights above my ceiling, and the sound, this unbelievable sound, I would walk right out of the house into their backyard, and then the next morning I would wake up fully dressed, as if I would say to them, let me get dressed first before I take off, and then, you know, yeah, and then a few years later, it happened to me again. Never afraid, never once afraid. And then when I was 14, visiting Florida at that time, Clearwater, Florida, to be exact, I was watching the strange movie Christine. I don't know if you guys remember. It was about this car that
oh, yeah.
By
so Stephen, yeah. Stephen King, right?
Yeah. Yes. But it was old to me because I was born in 63. June of 63. So it was an older movie to me, you know, and I was never afraid of that either. Well, anyways, I heard rustling, and so I went right up to those sliding glass doors. Nobody was home at the time, and I said, you know what, I'm going to go back up and get the binoculars, see what the heck is out there. And when I went back to get the binoculars, I happened to look up above the pond, and I saw definitely UFO. I ain't calling them UFOs, too. That's one thing I do not like to call them, because I do believe they're beings just like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're, okay, yes. And I had described it many, many times. It was about 200 feet above me. So I said, you know what? I'm still going to back up and go get those darn binoculars. Well, I got so far. Yes, I got so far. And I ended up on the sofa in the den down in the lower level in Florida, Clearwater, Florida, which there were many, many sightings, and they were calling in left and right on their local station. And I took it with a grain of salt, but I woke up, and I remember every detail. And I was wondering about the Zetas. And, you know, I do know I have a gift, and, you know, it's a gift that I utilize.
What's your question? Joanne.
Okay. The Zetas. I'm very interested in that because I do remember one time when I was taken.
Joanne, I need a question from you really fast.
Okay. Yeah, okay. They were very, very compassionate, Judy. Very, very compassionate.
All right. Are they compassionate? Hold that. We'll be back. On our next Coast to Coast program, Jim Rawls joins us. We're going to talk about survivors, how you can survive any kind of catastrophe, an asteroid impact, a pole shift, you name it, and he'll be talking about it on Coast to Coast. Then on Thursday, two special guests join us, Leonard Mlodinow and Deepak Chopra join us as we talk about science versus spirituality. They're going to have a friendly debate, so get ready for that. And we'll be back with final phone calls with Judy Carroll right here on Coast to Coast AM. Judy, this encounter that you had in subsequently, how often does it occur? Is it still ongoing?
Yes, it's still ongoing, George. I have sometimes I have quite clear conscious recall. Other times I'm just sort of aware that I've been up there with them, but I can't particularly remember anything. Sometimes something will happen during the day which will spark off a memory.
Okay, let's go now to Noah in San Diego, west of the Rockies. Noah, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Judy. Here's a lighter question for you, Judy. Do you think that the higher evolved beings have a sense of humor?
Absolutely, yes. Very much so. Our sense of humor comes with evolution, I think. Both Helene and I have experienced Zeta humor on several occasions. I was actually once told a joke by my teacher. Because they've evolved past all the little petty concerns and transient emotions and worries that we have down here, they're surrounded by a sense of lightness. You see this quality in some adepts in Eastern systems here, such as Buddhism. But it's a fairly unusual state on Earth, unfortunately.
Judy, based on what you know about the Zetas, who was Jesus?
He was a very, very highly evolved teacher who came to planet Earth to basically try and give the same message that the Zetas are giving, for people to wake up to the fact that they're more than just a physical body. That's who Jesus was.
He too went through this multi-dimensional type interaction with us.
Yes, yes. I have the highest... Sorry?
No, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yes, you're done?
I have the highest respect for Jesus.
Me too. Let's go to Las Vegas, Nevada. Bernice, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
Judy, I have... Hi, George, too. I have a question. I woke up in November 2006, I had a marking on the upper part of my left breast, and it was very clear. It was a hexagon, and I now know that other people get these. It was just like a kind of a crop circle, and it's on people. Why are they putting them on people now? What is their... the meaning of this?
I think in many cases it is, again, to wake us up. Because what happens when a lot of people who are taken up onto the disc, because you're in an altered state, you can't necessarily bring the memory back down here. I mean, I know I have a lot of trouble with this as well. And by putting a mark of some sort like that on our body, when we wake up the next morning, we look at it, oh, wow, what's that? And it's like when we see it, it sparks a memory of what's been going on up there. At the same time, it could be a healing symbol of some sort. I don't dispute that at all. Sort of like a crop circle almost, only placed on your body.
Yeah, it was in fact lasered on.
Right.
Yeah, I work for doctors, so it was lasered on at a... at 85-degree angle.
Oh.
I work for several doctors, and they looked at it, and it stayed for about 6 months.
Right, how interesting. How interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It actually was a hexagon. It had seven lines. It was very interesting.
Right, I would say it was something to do with adjust to your energy system. I would think.
That was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And my potassium level was up. I went to the doctor. I had a blood test right after that, and I went to the doctor, and he called me immediately and said, we need another blood test. Your potassium level is sky high. And
right.
I was very calm during that period.
Right.
And, it was very, very interesting.
Right. And then watch your calcium level just gradually return to normal.
Next up, we go to Houston, Texas, east of the Rockies. Hello, JB. It's your turn.
All right. Hey, how y'all doing this evening?
Okay.
Good talking to you, and nice to meet Judy there.
Sure.
Nice talking to you, too.
I have a question. You know, Reiki healing and stuff channels the energy of the body and stuff, but do you see auras ever?
Yes, I have on occasions. I don't see them all the time. I feel them more than see them. I have seen them when I've been in an altered state. But, yes, I can pick up on them. I can feel them.
And the reason I ask that is because, you know, everyone's having all this difficulty trying to, get their head together and everything and see who's good and bad and whatever. And all the politicians, they seem to be going different directions with their ideas to help everyone. But if a person can read auras correctly, they could actually see the mood and the sense of direction of that person. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. And I could also tell when they were telling the truth or not as well.
Exactly. That's my point exactly. And I would just want to just put that out there because I think that there's a lot of people that are being deceived, and I think the Zetas are trying to help and everything, but I don't know that people are listening, but I sure appreciate the job y'all are doing. And all I can say is if y'all can think of frameworks for thinking and process and be, you know, get a system of checking out the Zetas for everyone, maybe they could, you know, get more information.
Yes, yes, that's right.
Okay, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Judy, I had asked Nancy Leader if the Zetas would ever get involved in deception or trying to trick us. What do you say?
No, not the genuine ones, but there certainly is that going on down here, and people being mind-controlled, basically, to think that they are undergoing negative abduction experiences with the Zetas.
Next up, we go to Michelle in Seattle, Washington. It's your turn, Michelle. Go ahead.
Oh, hi there, George and Judy. I'm curious about the implants that you said that they would be in the chakras. Being a nurse, I know that and studied chakras, that they're aligned with the endocrine glands. Is it more of an etheric type implant in the energy field around your body rather than the physical implant into the physical skin?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely, yes. And most of the genuine implants are more etheric.
So, and I'm aware that there's five chakras above the crown, being experienced Kundalini myself to that higher level.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I feel an energy flow coming back down, like there's a download of spiritual information.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that might be where you're explaining that they can also send you implant just an energy flow, but maybe even like a download of information?
Oh, absolutely. They can also use them for communication. Like those of us who are receiving messages would have implants to assist that process.
Thanks, Michelle. What is the most dangerous message the Zetas want us to know about, to be aware of?
The most dangerous is the state of fear that people are in. They keep pushing this, that we need to move past our fear. And this is the unfortunate thing, that the negative forces down here who are trying to make us scared of the Zetas are real right into fear-mongering. So that is the most dangerous situation on the planet, all the fear-mongering that's going on.
Let's go to Kay. She's a first-time caller in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Kay.
Hi, how are you? Thank you
Good.
For taking my call, George
Thank
and Judy.
You. You're welcome.
Can you tell me, is there going to come a time where they're going to reveal themselves to everyone and the government's not going to be able to hide this from us?
Well, they're just holding off at the moment. They're not making any specific plans for that, just to basically see how things go down here, because they don't want to cause more fear. How they're relating at the moment is the ET encounter experience is very tailored to the individual. So that's how they're operating at the moment. If things change down the track, then yes, I would say they will definitely come out more in the open and, you know, make themselves known.
Are they scary looking, Judy, to most people? If we were to look at them, would we be scared, or would we go, hey, this is great, an ET?
Well, I think it depends on the individual, really. Like some people are absolutely terrified by the way they look, whereas I love the look of them. So I guess it depends on the individual.
You were afraid of black eyes, though, when you were
yes,
younger.
Yes, I was, until my consciousness opened up a bit more. I certainly was.
Let's go to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Stephen, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Hello, I have a question for Judy.
Sure.
You were talking about the human evolutionary ladder.
Yes.
How we're on the first rung.
Yes.
Might this explain why we only use 10% of our brain?
Because that is the amount of our DNA that is active at the moment.
Yeah, and what would we expect when we start to move on? Would we stay here with this body or with this planet, or do we graduate from this?
Well, the planet itself is actually moving up to the next level. So hopefully we can stay with the planet, but we'll need to move up ourselves to be able to do that.
I see. Great.
Mm. All right, thanks. Who moves us up? Do we do it, or what?
Well, the Zetas are helping us to do it ourselves.
because we create our own reality, and this is why they're trying to overcome the fear element down here.
Is it true that some of our missile silos have been shut down by extraterrestrials?
I have heard that.
But they haven't told you that?
No, not personally. They tend not to give us information like that for our, basically for our safety. We're not into military stuff at all.
Judy, have you ever asked yourself, why you? Why are you one of those?
This is an interesting point. Yes, I have asked myself many times. As far as I understand, I'm sort of linked into their soul group. And that's the reason why.
Let's go to Fort Myers, Florida now. Hey, Dave, your turn on Coast to Coast.
Oh, greetings, Earthlings.
Hi there.
I'm calling you as a clergy, as a pastor. I've been listening to the program since it started. I've heard about reincarnation. I heard what she just said about Jesus. And here's my question. Is my Bible got any credibility?
Yes, yes. There's many hidden teachings in the Bible. Some has been misinterpreted, but yes, there's a great deal of truth as well. If people know where to look. For example, I believe that there are references to reincarnation in the Bible. And I do believe Jesus taught this when he was here.
How long have the Zetas been visiting us?
Oh, basically since humans came on Earth and before that. So, yes, thousands and thousands of years, if
Scott,
not millions.
Grapevine, Texas. Go ahead, Scott. Good morning.
Hey, I had a question regarding some work done by Rick Strassman. George, you might be more familiar
yes.
with this, but the entities that people encountered and the consistency with those entities, I was curious if the DMT is possibly putting people in a state of mind or frequency, which I believe it is, you know, different than what we have now.
Sure.
Or, you know, normal consciousness. But could any of those entities that they encounter be some of the Zetas or some of these higher life forms because of the more often than not kind and helpful healing encounters that people report?
I don't know. Judy?
Yes, they could be. There are many different ones. Many different ones.
How many?
Oh, probably thousands. I don't know.
Are some of them the insect-looking praying mantis type?
Yes, I have heard the mantis people. Yes, the mantis people work with the Zetas, the Pleiadians do. There's many different types.
What about the reptilians?
Yes, there are some reptilians that are working with them. I believe there's a group that are negative, but the off-planet reptilians, yes, they're fine. They're working alongside the Zetas. They're fairly protective in a protective way. They work with them.
Let's go to Nancy in River Pines, California. Hi, Nancy. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very kindly for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm enjoying the show immensely. I had a comment, but first I would like to ask something about it. It did have to do with reptilians. I was wondering what their take was with and or, you know, with them, without them. I know there is not all good and not all bad. There are many mixtures. So I was just very, very curious on that.
Right. Look, from my understanding, there is a group, I call them the Reptarians, and they were an E.T. group that came here thousands and thousands of years ago right. and actually took on like a form during the time of the dinosaurs.
Right.
So they're a sort of a reptilian type, but they're actually in fully human form.
Right.
And they're the ones who are a bit questionable. But
right.
certain ones of that group have evolved to be very beautiful beings. So, yes, we can't lump them all together. Certainly.
I don't anyway. I send them just unconditional love all the time.
Yeah, that's the way.
Yeah. I also, was the caller that called earlier about having the mission and her ill health, on the idea of vibrational and awakening and whatnot, I wanted to offer her a suggestion. I was very ill for many, many years, and nobody could figure out what was wrong with me. And finally, I had heard this story about a young boy who was 6 years old. He had an unoperable tumor, and he was considered terminal. He would, every night when he would go to bed, he would imagine a video game in his mind, to break down this, whatever this was, the enemy in his head. And 6 months later, there was no evidence that had ever been there. And oh. I'm a very strong believer as our bodies, like we get cut, what happens immediately? Immediately, your body starts to heal. And I feel as though we depend on everything outside of ourselves. We're missing a lot. I think that a lot of vibrational internal work, it helped me. It worked for me.
Yes. Well, I mean, we do. We have it all within ourselves. That's exactly right.
We've got to be able to do that indeed. Judy, we're almost out of time. But for people who want to get it, you know, if people want to get in touch with Zetas, can they? Can they do it in a dream state? How do you ask?
Well, look, they probably are. If they really want to, they probably are. Many people are having experiences, but they're not consciously aware of it. If they want conscious awareness, just keep putting it out there and asking. You know, they will. They will eventually give you some sort of evidence or a memory or something. I just say keep asking.
You keep asking, and you never know what you'll get, do you?
Never know what you get. That's right.
Name of Judy's book is The Zeta Message. She's also got another one, Human by Day, Zeta by Night. I guess this is all about you, isn't it, Judy?
Yes, it is. Yes, as I said before, it's a fictional book, but it's basically autobiographical.
Okay, and your websites, of course, we got you all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Are you on Facebook, Judy?
Yes, we are. I'm not in charge of it. My co-author, Helene, is. I'm not very clever with things like that, so I've left that to her.
That's what I do with my webmaster, Lex Lonehood, as well. Judy, thank you so much for being on the program. Judy Carroll, another Zeta story. Fantastic. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.